Mahabharata, Chapter 35, Into Virata. As the rainy season came and went, Domya determined by astrological calculation that the 13th year of exile was about to commence. The brothers discussed their strategy. Encouraged by Dharma's boon, they were hopeful. Although Duryodhan would undoubtedly send hundreds and thousands of spies all over the world to search for them, he would not find them. But they did not want to take any chances. Thus they considered how best to conceal themselves. Yudhisthira spoke to Arjuna. O ruler of men, what is your view? How shall we remain incognito? By virtue of Dharma's boon, we shall be able to go about without being discovered. I have no doubt about that. But let us consider carefully the places where we could reside peacefully. I shall name them. Arjuna listed a number of countries where their allies lived and asked Yudhisthira which he felt was most suitable. Yudhisthira thanked his brother for his suggestions and replied, Dear brother, what Dharma has said must come to pass. We shall reside in Matsya, the kingdom of Virata. That aged king is powerful, charitable, of a righteous disposition, and is always favorably disposed toward us. Let us go there as his servants. Tell me, O sons of Kunti, how should we each present ourselves to the king? Arjuna replied doubtfully, O virtuous one, how will you become the servant of a king? You are like a god among men, and have always been the lord of others. How will you submit yourself to a lesser man? Yudhisthira reassured Arjuna, There will be no problem. I shall become the king's dicing partner and friend. Presenting myself as Yudhisthira's former personal servant and close friend Kanka, an expert at gaming, I will offer him and his ministers various kinds of pleasing service. Now, O Vrikadar, tell me in what capacity you will enter Virata's city. Bhima had already decided. O Bharata, I will present myself as a cook named Vallabha. I will say that I formerly worked in Yudhisthira's royal kitchens. I am an expert in the kitchen business and will prepare fine dishes for the king's table. I will also please the king by feats of strength and by wrestling. I will overpower elephants and bulls and throw down the best of Virata's wrestlers without killing them. O king, do not fear for me. I will take care of myself. Yudhisthira nodded approvingly and turned to Arjuna. What work will Dhananjaya, who possesses invincible power, who is the joy of the Kurus, and before whom the god Agni appeared as a Brahman begging a favor, what will he accept? As the sun is the foremost of all planets, the Brahman the best of men, and the thunderbolt the best of all weapons, so Arjuna is the best of all archers. What humble office can he accept, having gone to heaven and obtained all celestial weapons after pleasing the god of gods, Maheshwar? I think Krishna's friend does not deserve to be reduced to such a plight. Arjuna then remembered Avashi's curse and Indra's subsequent instruction. O ruler of the earth, I shall become a member of the third sex, a eunuch. In order to conceal the scars the bowstring has made on my arms, I will wear numerous bangles. With bright gold earrings and braided hair, I will go before the king as Brihanala and offer to instruct his ladies in singing and dancing. I have acquired proficiency in these skills from the Gandharvas. Living in the king, Saragalu, I will act as a female and please the king and his women by my services and by reciting many stories. On being asked for my background, I will say that I was formerly a waiting maid in Yudhisthira's palace. O king, hiding myself in this way, as fire is concealed by ashes, I will pass my days during this last year. Yudhisthira looked in wonder at Arjuna. A eunuch? How astonishing were the movements of destiny! He turned to Nakula and asked him how he planned to appear before Virata. Nakula replied, I shall be a keeper of horses, known as Grantika. I am thoroughly acquainted with all aspects of horsemanship and enjoy that work. O king, horses are as dear to me as you are. I will tell Virata that I was previously in charge of Yudhisthira's horses. Yudhisthira finally asked Sahadev what disguise he would assume. The youngest Pandava replied that he would become a cowherd. This work pleases me, O king. I possess the skills of taming, milking, and breeding cattle. I can recognize all the signs and characteristics of different kinds of cows and bulls. Known as Tantripala, I shall thus render service to Virata, telling him that I used to work in that capacity for Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira looked across at Draupadi, who sat near the brothers. Here is our beloved wife. She is dearer to us than life. Like a mother, she is to be cherished, and like an elder sister, respected. How will she appear before Virata? She is not accustomed to the position of servant, and has been accustomed from birth to royal opulence. Draupadi replied, O Bharata, there is a class of maid known as Sarindri, who serves others. It is understood that no respectable lady would accept such service, so I will conceal myself in that guise. Saying that I was formerly Draupadi's waiting maid, I will serve Sudeshna, the king's esteemed wife. By my expert service of dressing hair and ornamenting the queen, I will please her. Do not be anxious for me, O king. Yudhisthira looked at his devoted wife. She was prepared to undergo any austerity to serve her husband's. Although she was energetic and accomplished, it would not be easy for her to accept the position of a menial servant to someone inferior, and her stay in Virata would be fraught with danger from lusty men who thought she had no protector. You have spoken well, Yudhisthira said. Devoted as you are to piety and chastity, O queen, you are a stranger to sin. You should behave yourself in Virata in such a way that no wicked man might become attracted to you. The Pandavas had discussed their plans for the final year in a secluded place. They did not want to risk disclosing their whereabouts, even to their friends and servants. When they had decided upon their disguises, they went back to the hermitage. Yudhisthira then said to Domya, O learned Brahman, if it is agreeable to you, please go to Jupiter's city. There you may live in peace and preserve our Agnihotra fires. Yudhisthira ordered his servants, headed by Indrasena, to go to Dwarka and live with the Yadavas. Upon arriving there, you should tell everyone that you were left alone by the Pandavas at Dvaitavana. You have no idea of their whereabouts or intentions. Domya made all arrangements for the Pandavas' journey. He lit the sacred fire and offered oblations on their behalf, invoking auspiciousness upon them and blessing them that they would achieve victory. The brothers and Draupadi then walked around the sacred fire and, after bowing before the Brahmins, left the hermitage. Lean and bearded after their long stay in the forest, the five brothers, clad in deerskins, carrying their weapons, seemed like five powerful rishis as they made their way on foot toward the river Kalindi. As they passed through various countries, staying sometimes in the wild and other times in inhabited regions, they presented themselves as hunters. Bhima carried Draupadi, and they moved quickly toward their destination. After many days of travel, they finally arrived in the Matsya's expansive country. They saw the well-laid roads and paths that led from the forest into the capital. When the Pandavas reached the outskirts of the city, Yudhisthira set them all down in a grassy clearing and said, O best of men, although you are all acquainted with the science of diplomacy and policy, it still behooves me to advise you. We should conduct ourselves carefully in Virata's presence. Kings are always to be feared, as one fears a deadly snake. The protectors and cherishers of all beings, they are deities in human form, and are like great fires equipped with all weapons. You should always act with the utmost caution when in a king's presence. He who acts falsely with a king is killed by him. Of this there is no doubt. Yudhisthira spoke for some time, giving detailed instructions about all aspects of behavior with kings. He did not want his brothers to make any mistakes now that they were so close to completing their vow. Just one more year, and they would be able to reclaim their kingdom. After finishing his instructions, Yudhisthira led them toward the city. As they walked on, he said to Arjuna, "If we enter Virata with our weapons, we will frighten the citizens and be quite conspicuous. Indeed, your Gandiva is famous throughout the world. If we are discovered by anyone, they will have to live a further 13 years in exile." Yudhisthira had faith in Dharma's boon, but he did not want to take any unnecessary chances. The Pandavas decided to conceal their weapons near the city. After looking around, they came upon a huge sami tree near a cremation ground. The area was dismal and deserted, far from the road and close to the forest. Arjuna suggested that they wrap their weapons in a cloth bundle and place them high in the tree. Anyone seeing that bundle by the crematorium would assume it to be a corpse and leave it alone. Agreeing to the suggestion, the brothers unstrung their bows and placed them upon Bhima's large deerskin garment. They wrapped and tied the bows, swords, quivers, and arrows. Nakula ascended the tree with the bundle and secured it to a high branch, which he felt offered sufficient shelter from the rain. The Pandavas then made their way toward the city. They passed some cowherd men and told them that they had just placed their mother's body on the tree. "This is our ancient custom," Yudhisthira said. "We have placed our old mother's body high in the tree. May she attain to the blessed heavenly regions." As they reached the city gate, Yudhisthira prayed to Goddess Durga. Seeing her as Krishna's divine energy, whose service it was to conceal the Lord's identity from the atheists, he asked for her protection. Pleased by his prayer, the goddess appeared before the Pandavas. "O heroes, you will soon attain victory in battle. After slaying your enemies, you will again enjoy the earth. Through my grace, neither the Kurus nor the inhabitants of Virata will recognize you until the final year has expired." The goddess disappeared, and the Pandavas entered the capital, Virata. Yudhisthira went first, but before parting from his brothers, he gave each of them a secret name, by which they could call each other if the need arose. He was called Jaya, and the others were Jayanta, Vijaya, Jayatsena, and Jayatbala. Yudhisthira then strode into the city like a mighty lion. He went directly to the king's court. The king saw him enter like a moon emerging from the clouds. Turning to his counselors, he asked, "Who is this man who walks into my court as if he were a king? He cannot be a Brahmin. I think he is a lord of the earth, although he has neither a slave nor any other attendant with him. He shines like Indra, and approaches me as fearlessly as an elephant might approach a lotus." Yudhisthira came up to Virata and said, "O sinless one, know me to be a Brahmin who has lost everything and now seeks your service. I wish to live with you and accept you as my master." Joyful at having acquired such an obviously qualified man, Virata replied, "O worshipful one, I bow down to you. You are most welcome. I will give you the post you desire. Which country are you from, and what is your name? Do you possess any particular skills?" "I was formerly a friend of Yudhisthira, and my name is Kanka. I am expert in casting dice, and can entertain and please you in that way." The king smiled, without thinking for a moment that the so-called Brahmin before him might actually be Yudhisthira himself. Although he felt the newcomer to be extraordinary, he accepted his explanation. He felt an immediate affinity for Kanka, whose expressions and bodily movements were gentle and pleasing. If he was Yudhisthira's friend, then he was surely of the highest character and worthy of his respect. "Live with me in peace," Virata said cheerfully. "This kingdom is as much yours as it is mine. I am always pleased by expert dicers." Yudhisthira asked that he not be called to play with low-class people or involved in disputes or fights over the game. The king replied, "I will kill anyone who does you any wrong. If the wrongdoer is a Brahmin, I will banish him from the kingdom. Let all my subjects hear my proclamation. This Kanka is as much the lord of this dominion as myself." Turning to Yudhisthira, the king continued, "You shall be my friend. You will ride on my chariot, wear the best clothes, and enjoy the finest dishes. My door will always be open to you, and you will become my closest advisor and counselor." Yudhisthira was then shown to his quarters in the king's palace, and he began to live there happily and undetected by anyone. The following day, Bhima entered the city. He went down the main road toward the king's palace, appearing like a powerful lord of elephants. In his hands he held a ladle and a cooking spoon, as well as a shining, unblemished sword, azure in color. Just as a cook, he went before the king, illuminating the royal court with his bodily effulgence. Virata looked at him in amazement and asked his counselors, "Who is this young man, exceedingly handsome and with the shoulders of a lion? Although he is new here, I feel as if I have always known him. I cannot place him, but he surely must be either Purandar himself, or perhaps the powerful Gandharva king. Whatever he wants, let him have it immediately." One of Virata's counselors went to Bhima and asked him what he desired. The Pandava looked up at the king and said, "O king, I am a cook named Vallabha. Pray appoint me to your kitchen, for I am expert in the culinary arts." Virata gazed at Bhima's massive arms and broad chest. "I cannot believe you are a cook. You shine like a thousand-eyed deity, and from your grace, beauty, and prowess you appear to be the best of men." "O king, I am your servant. Allow me to work in the royal kitchens." As he addressed the king, Bhima's voice resounded in the royal court like a great drum. "In days gone by, my cooking was tasted by Yudhisthira, but I possess other abilities as well. I am a peerless wrestler and can entertain you by fighting lions and elephants." As with Kanka, the king felt an immediate affection for this unusual arrival. "You shall become the head of my kitchens, but I do not think this office is worthy of you, who should rather be ruler of the earth." Bhima began to work in the kitchens, becoming a great favorite of the king and recognized by no one. Draupadi was next to enter the city. With her glossy black hair twisted in one long braid thrown down on her right-hand side, and dressed in a single soil cloth, she walked through the city streets as if in distress. Many people gathered around her and asked who she was and what she wanted. "I am Sarindri," Draupadi replied. "I seek someone who will employ and maintain me." Hearing her sweet voice and observing her incomparable beauty, the people found it hard to believe that she could be a maidservant. They directed her to the royal palace, and as she was walking, Sudeshna, Virata's wife, saw her. The queen asked, "O gentle one, why do you wander about in this way?" Draupadi repeated her story, and Sudeshna replied, "This surely cannot be true. O most beautiful one, it seems to me that you yourself could appoint numerous servants. By your bodily appearance, I take you to be of the highest and most noble lineage. Your countenance shines like the full moon. Your body is shapely, and your eyes are like lotus petals framed by curling lashes. Your lips are like the red bimba fruit, and your skin is as smooth as silk. In beauty, you resemble a goddess, and must surely have descended from the heavens. Pray tell me who you are, for you cannot possibly be a maidservant." Draupadi straightened her disheveled cloth and turned her dark eyes toward the queen. I am neither a goddess nor a celestial. I am a maid of the Sirindri class. I am skilled in dressing hair and preparing unguents. I can make variegated and beautiful garlands of jasmines, lotuses, and lilies. Previously I served Satyabhama, Krishna's beloved queen, and Draupadi, the Pandava's wife. My name is Malini. Now I have no engagement. Please allow me to serve in your palace, O queen. Sudeshna gazed at Draupadi's unparalleled beauty and obvious nobility. How could she be a serving maid? Still, she would make a valuable addition to the palace. But what effect would she have on the king, and indeed on any other man who saw her? The queen smiled at Draupadi, but spoke doubtfully. I can place you on my head, never mind as my servant. I do not doubt it, yet I fear your beauty will captivate the king's heart. Seeing how even the women here are staring at you, I feel that there is no man alive who could resist your charms. It seems that even the trees are bending low to pay you homage. Surely upon seeing you, the king will lose his heart and forsake me. O lady of sweet smiles, the person upon whom you cast a glance will certainly fall victim to the god of love. By engaging you, I will bring upon myself my own destruction. Although I should love to have your company, this is my fear. Covering her long hair with her upper cloth, Draupadi reassured the queen. Neither Virata nor any other man can win me, fair lady, for I have 5 Gandharva husbands. Those invincible heroes always protect me, and I will not cast a single glance on another man. However, they stipulate certain conditions for those who would engage me. My husbands desire that I eat not any food which has already been taken by another, and that I not be asked to wash another's feet. Guarding me secretly, my husbands bring about the immediate destruction of any man who desires me. No one is able to sway me from the path of righteousness, O Queen. Indeed, I ask that you always keep me safe from other men. Therefore, allay your fears. Sudeshna decided to employ Draupadi. She promised that her food would always be fresh and untouched by another, and she would not be called upon to wash anyone's feet. Draupadi thanked her, and was led by the queen into the inner chambers of the palace, where she began her life as a maidservant. The day after Draupadi's entrance into Virata, Sahadev made his way into the city, dressed as a cowherd. He arrived at the cow pasture in the region of Virata's palace. The king happened to be visiting his herd and was present when Sahadev arrived. Virata sent for him and asked who he was and why he had come to the city. Sahadev replied, I am a Vaishya named Tantripala. I used to work with the cows belonging to the Pandavas. I am expert at handling cattle and desire to render you that service. Virata observed Sahadev's broad shoulders and long arms. You must surely be a Brahmin or a powerful Kshatriya, he replied. The office of a ruler would better suit you than that of a cowherd. Tell me, from where do you hail, O afflicter of enemies? What engagement do you desire, and what payment? I used to reside in Indraprastha. I took care of the innumerable cows there, Sahadev answered. I know everything about caring for cows. O king, I desire only my residence and upkeep, and will serve you to the best of my ability. The king accepted Sahadev's request. I have 100,000 cows. These, along with their keepers, shall be placed under your care. Live here in peace, and I shall ensure that you are provided with whatever you desire. The day after Sahadev's entry, another newcomer was seen making his way into the city. Of huge body and adorned with the clothes and ornaments of a woman, he went toward the king's palace, shaking the earth with his steps, even though he walked with the gait of a broad-hipped woman. He stood before the king with his body concealed by layers of colored silks. His arms were covered by numerous conch bracelets set with gold, and he seemed like a huge, gorgeously decorated elephant standing in the royal court. Virata looked at him in surprise. He asked his courtiers, "Who is this person? I have never seen such a one." When none of them could identify him, the king turned to Arjuna and said, "You appear endowed with the might of a celestial. Young and dark complexion, you look like the Lord of Elephants. Although you wear bracelets and fine gold earrings and have braided your hair, you still shine like a god decked with garlands and equipped with armor and weapons. Become like my son or even myself. I am old and worn out. Therefore rule this kingdom in my place and let me retire. I cannot believe you are of the neuter sex." In a deep voice that echoed throughout the court, Arjuna replied, "I sing, dance, and play musical instruments. I am skilled in all these arts. O God among men, assign me to your daughter Uttara, and I shall be her dancing master. Please do not ask me how I acquired this form, for that would only add to my pain. O King, know me to be Brihanala, the son or daughter without parents." Virata stared with astonishment at Brihanala. "After testing you, I will happily place you as my daughter's instructor. I feel, though, that you deserve to rule the earth rather than to accept such a humble office." The king had beautiful women examine Brihanala to ensure that she was free from lust. He also asked him to display his abilities of singing and dancing. The women reported that there was no problem, and the king, after seeing his celestial skills, happily appointed Brihanala as Princess Uttara's teacher. In the guise of a eunuch, Arjuna began living with the women in Virata's palace, instructing them in singing and playing musical instruments, as well as in the various modes of dancing he had learned from the Gandharvas. Due to Urvashi's curse, he felt no disturbance in the women's presence, and he soon became a great favorite in their chambers. No one suspected that he was, in fact, the world-renowned Pandava. It only remained for Nakula to enter Virata. Then, on the day after Arjuna entered, he appeared in the city. The people saw him walking through the streets like the sun, appearing from behind the clouds. Going to the royal stables, he began to examine the horses. When the king saw him there, shining like a celestial, he had him summoned to the royal court. Nakula introduced himself. "O king, all victory to you. I am the keeper of horses known as Grantika. I was formerly employed by Yudhisthira and am versed in all the arts of horsemanship. I know the temper of horses and can break them completely. Under my care, hardly an animal falls ill, and not even the mares are found to be wicked. Employ me as a horsekeeper, O king, and I shall serve you well." Virata looked at the tall, powerful person before him. He seemed to be born of aristocracy. There was no doubt he had the abilities he claimed to have. The king agreed to employ him. "You shall take charge of my stables and all those who work in them, including my charioteers. You appear to me like a king yourself, and your sight is pleasing to me as it must have been to Yudhisthira. I wonder how the faultless Pandava is faring in the deep forest without servants such as yourself." Having achieved the positions they desired, the five brothers and Draupadi began their final year in exile, unsuspected by anyone.